This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as hell wouldn't have done what you've done to this guy.
Good morning and welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host with this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. Hoping that you are having a fantastic day and that all is going well with you and yours. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. At least it is where I am, and hopefully it is where you are as well. A lot has happened in the last 24 hours. We've had a rocket attack on U.S. troops coming from Iran. We've had a Boeing passenger plane go down. And celebrities have been exposed for what they truly are. And we'll look into every bit of that, plus some more, as the Daily Perspective continues today. Let's start things off with something that's not quite as severe, shall we? I don't have anything personal to talk about today. We spent a lot of our time yesterday doing family visiting in France, since Joe is in town, and we're just hanging out with some people and spending time we don't normally get a chance to spend some time with. And that was pretty much it for the day. That, and of course, keeping track of the news. If you spot me at a family gathering, you'll probably find me in a chair somewhere with my phone, scanning news, copying and pasting links and the like, and then interacting when someone calls my name for the second or third time. Oh, you're talking to me? Yeah, that's pretty much my life around family nowadays. Oh, my. But let's move forward to something that has nothing whatsoever to do with Iran, shall we? There was a man, not just any man, but a North Carolina man. I'm sorry, it's not a Florida man story. It's a North Carolina man story. A man named Damon Fields. He is suing Gaston County. Why? He alleges that his civil rights have been violated. And not just his civil rights, but also the civil rights of those with whom he lives. His housemates? 16 cats. His cats are named as complainants in the lawsuit. Among them is Boo Boo, Tony Tiger, girlfriend Sarah, Bubba Logan, Silly Girl Sally, Rascal Russell, and many more. The Charlotte Observer is reporting that 16 cats were seized in early November from Mr. Fields' Cherryville home based on a complaint from a neighbor. Can I just say that when your neighbors are complaining about your cats, you should seek help? I mean, seriously. The paper reports the courthouse cat fight dates back to November 5th, when animal control officers responded to a neighbor's complaint and searched Fields' small ranch home, a home that Assistant Gaston County Attorney Sam Shames says reeked so badly of cat pee that investigators had to put on masks before they entered. Inside, Mr. Shames says the officers tiptoed around an incredibly large amount of cat poo. They left with 16 cats, including 5 kittens. Fields was charged with 16 counts of misdemeanor animal cruelty. The county also started a $20 a day tab on the cost of housing, feeding, and caring for each of the cats. That bill reached more than $10,000 after 30 days. Fields had the charges put on hold thanks to a deferred prosecution plan that was set up in mid-December and approved by a Gaston County judge. The bill for the animals was also waived so long as Fields keeps no more than 5 cats in his home. So, as long as he only keeps 5 cats or fewer, then they won't hit him with the bill for all of the the maintenance and upkeep for all of those cats for 30 days. Fields was told to pick 5 cats and take them home from the animal shelter. And he was also required to have the cats sterilized. The remaining 11 would be put up for adoption, provided they passed medical inspections. 37-year-old Fields was also told at the time that animal control must be able to inspect his home at various times over the next 6 months. Mr. Shames says, nobody's trying to put this guy in jail. That wouldn't accomplish very much. We're trying to get him the help that he needs. It appeared as though Fields had accepted the terms. But 2 weeks later, his lawsuit appeared in Charlotte Federal Court. He wrote in his complaint, "My family and I were denied the right to have a fair trial before we were accused and taken and stuffed in a box/cell/cage. Family? The 16 cats are your family? Fields is now demanding that all his cats be returned and that the county provide him $2,500 in damages for the injuries and emotional damages to my babies and myself. He also wants the legal system to acknowledge that cats have rights. Fields said that his home was in the state in which it was found because he had been in the hospital following surgery after a car accident. So, in other words, the cats had peed and pooped all over the place because he couldn't keep up with them because of injuries from a car accident. That is what he says. Shames told the Observer newspaper that its reporter ruined his day, and he was not expecting Fields to file such a lawsuit. I've never seen a cat listed as a party to a federal lawsuit, he says. This case was a very unusual set of facts. Cats seem to be showing up in a number of legal cases now. In September, the Daily Wire reported on the detention of Bones, an outdoor cat who wandered into a neighbor's home, making them think a burglar was in the house. And then there's Miska, whose human filed a lawsuit to try to get the thousands of dollars worth of fines levied against the roaming feline dropped. But this guy, this Fields guy, sees 16 cats as his family. My family and I were denied the right to have a fair trial before we were accused and taken and stuffed into a box/cell/cage. We? So they took you down to the ASPCA too, Mr. Fields? If they did, I want photos. I want to see Mr. Fields and his family in cages. Maybe they were on the border of the state. We could make that suit as well. They were this guy and his family in cages on the border. Oh, my word. You know, we live in a time when this kind of stuff, we just raise an eyebrow and go, well, that guy's crazy. But we used to live in a time in this country, in our society, if there was someone down the street who had 16 cats, and please put an asterisk there because I'm going to come back to 16 cats, okay? If there was somebody down the street who had 16 cats and their house smelled of those 16 cats and you couldn't walk through their home because of what those 16 cats left on the floor, then there would be a mental health intervention because someone is in dire need of some kind of help. You used to hear stories like this about little old ladies who had lots of cats, and the care and feeding of the cats literally got away from them as they aged. And so eventually the house smells. And trust me, that's a smell that doesn't go away. If you have ever owned cats, you know what I'm talking about. My wife and I live in a home, in a house, that was once also the home to a couple of cats. And we were concerned about that when we moved in, but never smelled a thing. Because there was a time, this was once the home of a family member, and we took it over. And we used to visit and think, How come they can't smell the cats? I mean, you walk in the door and you'd smell the cats. But we walked in the door when we were looking at the possibility of making this our home and couldn't smell the cats and didn't smell the cats until the first time it rained. And when it rained, the concrete that makes up the foundation floor, the basement floor, in one spot, gave up its secrets. There was a place, I found out after talking with them later, that it was discovered that these cats were using as their, they were using as their restroom. And when they discovered it, they peeled all the carpet up, they scrubbed and soaked the concrete, did everything they could. You know, you do your research, you find what you can, you follow all the instructions you can, you eliminate as much of it as you can, and then they tiled over it with a ginormous flooring tile to cover the offending odor. It comes up through the tile. It's that strong when it rains. It's just a whiff, but it's there. And it's been there for 30 years or more. That's how horrible the smell of cat urine can be in a home. Now, if somebody has that smell in their home and they don't smell it, I understand that. I've been in dog owners' homes, too, where you can smell, wow. Yeah, Poochie doesn't make it out the door sometimes, right? And that happens as well. Some people lose sight of it. They let their dogs go all over the house. But there was a time when that happened. It was always a little old lady who couldn't take care of the cats. And you kind of went, I got it. I understand. Somebody needs to step in. Family needs to step in. And in those cases, many times, there was no family to step in. And in bizarre, weird, off-the-wall, strange cases, every now and then you'd hear about one of these little old people with dozens of cats who passed away and couldn't feed the cats. And, yeah, you know the rest. The cats began dining on what was left of their former owner. So, let's clarify something here. Mr. Fields is not a well person if he honestly believes that his cats are his family. Mr. Damon Fields of Gaston County, North Carolina, needs an intervention, which is essentially what the officials in Gaston County have done. Nobody else, living, breathing, walking on 2 feet, would intervene, and the law finally did. A neighbor finally complained. And it makes me wonder what the nature of the complaint was. Was it all the cats, or was it that they could smell the cats next door? Which, by the way, is what I'm voting for. So an intervention has been made, and we live in a society now where this guy has said, well, doggone it, I'm going to sue because these cats are my family. No longer do we live in a place and a time when that was considered insanity and should have been. We live in a place and a time where, oh, we have to respect that. That's the way they see the world. Yeah, it's that disturbing and that crazy. That's the world we live in today. A world that actually doesn't even think twice about some guy naming 16 cats, living with them, and listing them as his family on a legal complaint. And it actually gets attention. Other than the attention of mental health people. Okay, I ask you to put an asterisk on 16 cats. Full disclosure. When I was a kid, at one time, we had over 16 cats. But it was two cats and a large, large litter of kittens, which we found homes for as quickly as possible. So lots of people got fuzzy little balls of fur and a little bit of happiness out of it. So, yeah, if somebody says, hey, I remember you telling me one time you had 16 cats. Yeah, it was 16 kittens, which lived with us for just long enough to find happy homes. And those cats, they were outdoor cats. There was no litter box. In fact, my wife Jane and I have given up on cats. We gave up on cats a long, long time ago because we had so many unfortunate situations arise with cats in our home. We're dog people now. I love other people's cats, but cats don't live in my house. And that view is reinforced for me every time it rains. No cats for me. No thanks. You can have a cat, but not me. I'll stick to my dog, who sits at the top of the stairs anxiously and looks at me as if to say, are you gonna take me out? Because if you don't, I'm gonna stink up your house.
There is that fine line between genius and madness.
Oh, so true. This is the Daily Perspective for the Wednesday edition, January 8th, 2020. And it's good to have you along. Thanks for joining the fun. Well, a lot has been happening with Iran. We have stories coming out from last night. I mentioned earlier that there was a rocket attack on U.S. Forces. Nobody injured. Of course, Iran is saying that there were a lot of people injured, but our people on the ground are saying, no, we had no serious injuries, nothing to worry about here. But still, Iran did launch rockets against U.S. forces. Trust me when I say this. This was probably expected. Retaliation for what happened was probably expected. So just take it in as par for the course. And when you hear leftists in the media and in entertainment and your liberal friends in social media harping on that Donald Trump has started a war, just remember, the Iranians have been at war with the rest of the world for as long as we can remember. And anytime we rattle their cage, anytime we step them back, anytime we put them in their place and remind them the rest of the world does not want them conquering us, then they pitch a fit and lash out, which is what they're doing now. Also, last night, a Ukrainian Boeing 737 carrying 176 people crashed in Iran, apparently killing everyone on board. The Ukraine International Airline plane, a 737-800, was reduced to smoldering debris just minutes after taking off from Tehran's Imam Khomeini International Airport. The flight number 752 was bound for Kyiv. Officials said there's no chance any of the 167 passengers and 9 crew survived. No chance. The plane was carrying 82 Iranians, 63 Canadians, 11 Ukrainians, 10 Swedish, 4 Afghan, 3 German, 3 British nationals. Ukraine's foreign minister Vadim Pristaiko has told us the crash of Ukraine International Airlines came hours after Iran launched a ballistic missile attack on Iraqi bases housing U.S. soldiers. In addition, the crash occurred less than an hour after the Federal Aviation Administration prohibited U.S. civil aviation from operating in the airspace over Iraq, Iran, and the waters of the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman. However, Iranian officials said they suspected a mechanical issue brought down the 3.5-year-old Boeing 737-800 aircraft. Qasem Binayez, a spokesman for Iran's Road and Transportation Ministry, quoted by the state-run IRNA news agency, said one of the engines apparently caught fire, and a witness on the ground was quoted by the Associated Press as saying he heard a massive explosion. Another witness quoted by the news agency said he believed the pilot had steered the plane toward a soccer field and away from a residential area. Ukrainian officials initially agreed, saying the possibility of a terrorist attack or a rocket attack can be currently ruled out. But they later backed away and declined to offer a cause until an investigation is concluded. Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukraine president, said, my sincere condolences to the relatives and friends of all passengers and crew. Ukraine International Airlines said an investigation would be conducted into the crash involving authorities from Ukraine, Iran, and Boeing representatives. The airline said it had indefinitely suspended flights to Tehran after the crash. The Russian Federal Air Transport Agency, Rosaviastia, told Russian air carriers to avoid flights in the airspace of Iraq, Iran, the Gulf, and the Gulf of Oman, according to Russian news agencies. RIE news agency quoted the Rosaviastia statement saying, due to information on existing security risk for international civil aircraft flights, we recommend until further notice not to use the airspace over the territories of Iran, Iraq, the Persian Gulf, and the Gulf of Oman for Russian civilian flights, including transit flights. After nearly an hour delay at the airport, the plane took off to the west but never made it up to 8,000 feet, according to data from the flight tracking website Flight Radar 24. The plane had been delayed from taking off by almost an hour. It took off to the west but never made it above 8,000 feet. And these Boeing 737-800s have been involved in other fatal accounts of accidents over the years, including in 2016 when a Fly Dubai 737-800 crashed in Russia, killing 62 people. In 2010, an Air India 737-800 crashed in southern India, killing 150 passengers and crew. Boeing, the airplane maker, said it was aware of the crash and was gathering more information. And that story comes to us from the pluralist.com, from foxnews.com, a related story. Iran is refusing to hand over the black box of the doomed Ukrainian airliner. They won't hand it over to Boeing amid an investigation into what caused the crash that killed all 176 people aboard the flight out of Tehran early yesterday. Ali Abedzadeh, the head of Tehran's civil aviation organization, told the Mehr news agency in Tehran that Iran has not made a decision on which country or international authority it would send the black box to for its data to be analyzed. That's according to Reuters. Boeing is an American aerospace company. It's headquartered out of Chicago. It's the world's largest manufacturer of commercial jet transports. Boeing also designs, manufactures, and sells military aircraft, helicopters, space vehicles, missiles, and communication equipment worldwide. The crash of the Ukraine International Airlines flight came hours after Iran fired as many as 15 ballistic missiles on Iraqi bases housing U.S. soldiers in a major retaliation by the rogue regime after the U.S. airstrike that killed Iranian Quds Force General Qasem Soleimani last week. No Americans were aboard the flight. We've already gone through the listings of who was. The timing of the crash fueled speculation on social media that the earlier missile strike played a role in the crash shortly after takeoff from the Imam Khomeini International Airport, but authorities have pointed to a mechanical issue. It's interesting, I think, and you probably do too, that they're saying, yeah, there was a mechanical problem, but no, we're not going to let you have the black box to confirm that. What can you say? We won't let you have the black box. We have the black box. I've read other reports that say that the black box was in good enough condition to actually retrieve the data. So they have the black box. The data is retrievable, and yet they won't let Boeing have it. They won't let anyone have it. And they're going to stick by their story that there was a mechanical failure. Are we to trust the word of a regime which has lied to America and the world for as far back as we can remember? Are we? Earlier this morning, I shared to the Daily Perspective podcast's social media on Facebook and Twitter, I shared a link to a PragerU video that actually exposes Iran for who they are and what they are with regard to their nuclear development. And it's a very telling video. It shows the nature of the people we're dealing with in Iran. A people whose officials will smile and lie to people asking them questions about their nuclear development. I don't have it in front of me right now, and so I don't have the name of the exact place. And if you've seen the video, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the UN's inspection group flagged a place in Iran for inspection. This place, due to the way their agreement was set up, wasn't inspected for a very long time after it was flagged. In the intervening time, Iran tore down every structure in the location, razed every building down to ground level, and then scraped every inch of soil down 6 feet below ground level and disposed of it and refilled it with clean soil before they allowed the UN to inspect. And they had the time to do so because of the way their agreement is set up. When they are notified that there is suspicion of nuclear activity, they can delay and delay and delay for a year or possibly more before anyone can come and look at a suspicious area. And by the time they get there, there is literally nothing left to inspect. This is who we're dealing with. Do you honestly think that these people are going to surrender the black box so that everyone can know the truth about what happened to that airliner? Do you?
Great googly moogly.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. You're listening to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, driving the big bus down the crazy streets of life in the world today. We were just talking about Iran and the airline crash and whether or not these are people we can trust to tell us the truth about what really happened. When you think about the fact that even though there weren't Americans on board, we should really care for the loss of the people. I mean, there were 3 from Britain, 3 from Germany, 63 Canadians, 10 from Sweden, 11 from Ukraine, 82 people from Iran, 4 Afghans. All of these people, plus the crew, all dead. Their families and friends deserve to know what really happened. And they will never know what really happened. All they will ever get is the word of the Iranian government, which, quite frankly, we know from our experience with them so far, is absolutely worthless. But don't take it from me, just me. Let's take it from the word of someone who grew up there. There's an Iranian, there's a video posted online, and I'll have the link in the show notes today so you can actually watch this woman's video. But this woman actually was born and grew up for the first part of her life in Iran. And she has something to say about what life is really like there and what the government is really like.
Hi, friends. So a lot of you have been reaching out to me asking me my opinion about what's going on and, you know, wanting to know my opinion. So here's my 2 cents. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sagar, also known as Erica for my American friends who can't say Sagar. I am Iranian American. I have spent the last 12 years of my life as a human rights activist working on Iran policy, watching the Middle East. Yeah, it's a super complex issue. And many of you probably before today had never ever heard of the name Mohandas or Soleimani, but I feel like we're living in the Twilight Zone, guys. I'm completely outraged at this notion that the propaganda machine that is the media is glorifying Qasem Soleimani. Do you people know that this man has not only the blood of Americans on his hands, but the blood of Iranians, Iraqis, Yemenis, Afghanis? I mean, since when did we start mourning the death of a terrorist? I mean, seriously, I've had like friends on the left, both Iranian and American, attack me for echoing the rhetoric of my people. The people in Iran are happy. The people in Iran are happy that this man who was responsible for the slaughter of so many people is gone. Like, where was your outrage last month when the regime slaughtered 1,600 kids for peaceful protests? Where's your outrage for the thousands of political prisoners that are in Iran right now? Where was your outrage when the Hashd-e-Shaabi took over the American embassy and like vandalized it and killed an American contractor? Like, I don't understand. So I'm sorry if I'm ranting, but who cares? My opinion doesn't really matter. But for the in the interest of those that have reached out, here's the deal. I'm an Iran watcher. I'm an Iraq watcher. I'm a Syria watcher. I'm an Afghanistan watcher. And for the people on the ground, they don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. In fact, there's a lot of trending hashtags right now from Iran on Twitter. Thank you, Trump. We thank you. Thank you for, Soleimani. Thank you. Go look for yourselves. And, honestly, guys, if you don't know anything about the Middle East, please keep your opinions to yourself. I beg you, because all you're doing is you're distorting the flow of information. You're drowning out the sound that's coming out from the ground. And people in Iran are happy. And they are giving out, in the Middle East, it's cultural practice to, when something wonderful happens, when there's a marriage or when there's a celebration, you give out cookies, you make cakes. And you should see the videos that are coming out. People are baking cakes. People are giving out cookies in public in the streets because they're happy. I don't know. Do we live in a closed society that we don't know that most people in the Middle East are not free? Specifically in Iran, it's an Islamic state. There's no freedom of religion. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of peaceful, protest. And for anyone who disagrees with the regime, they're arrested, they're jailed, they're tortured. There's a lot of video coming out right now about, the funeral of Qasem Soleimani. It's so much propaganda, you guys. The regime has been saying death to America for 40 years. They forced us in school to say death to America. I was 7 years old. I didn't know what I was saying. And the people that are like saying that right now, they're called the Basiji. They're like, they're getting paid. They're the ones that get paid to kill people on the street. So yeah, they're going to say death to America, but that's not the people. The majority of the people in the Middle East don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. And I'm probably going to lose a lot of friends for saying this, but thank you, Mr. Trump, for making a very hard decision and for having the moral courage to do something that probably a lot of world leaders wouldn't have had. Anyway, that's my two cents. I love you guys. If you want to have a conversation, let's engage. Let's not attack. It's not healthy. And hashtag everybody calm down. There's no World War III coming, okay? God is in control, not man.
Mm. And that is from someone who lived in Iran and has been an advocate for the people from outside of Iran for the past 12 years. And she is not alone. My friend Jennifer Nock, she's the wife of Bello Nock. You've probably seen him and his daughter on America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent. They're performers, circus performers who do crazy daredevil stuff. Well, Jennifer posted something, on social media that I want to pass along to you. I'm not sure if I've got enough time before the break, but I'm going to dive into it anyway. This is a post from Reza Zaida on Facebook. And I'll just, let me just read it to you. Messy and complicated. As an Iranian-born refugee, I can only come up with these words to describe the tensions in the Middle East. The death of General Soleimani only adds layers upon the convoluted relationship between this region and the West. For my entire lifetime, the country of Iran has been in turmoil and has been held hostage by the Ayatollahs and corrupt rulers of this proud land. Iran has a rich history, and its culture has influenced the world. For the last few days, I've scrolled my social media pages and felt sick to my stomach at the flippant response from people regarding the monumental action taken by the President of the United States. Not one Iranian I know wants a war with the U.S., or any country for that matter. The people have suffered enough. But the death of General Soleimani has also brought a glimmer of hope to the hearts of those that long to see Iran restored. My newsfeed is filled with Americans using this death to validate and stoke their political affiliation and preferences. Some see this as an opportunity to express their disdain for President Trump. Some are using it as a means to galvanize their support for the president of our country. In parentheses, I became an American citizen in 1996. My heart wavers between heartache and rage over the self-righteous posts and comments from people who have never shown a glimmer of interest in the affairs of Iran. People are so set upon their political preferences that the killing of a known terrorist is being questioned as legal. What is lost in all of this is the fact that the Iranian people are coming out of a very bloody and tense fall. I would guess that most people who are standing with Iran have no idea that the regime in Iran killed hundreds of its own citizens this past fall as people tried to protest the government's treatment of the general population. Students, men, women, and even children were thrown from buildings in public to discourage anyone from taking part in the uprising. Internet was turned off by the government to prevent these horrendous acts being seen by the world. Hundreds and thousands of Iranians have been murdered over the decades since the Ayatollahs came into power. Yet the world has been silent. And one of the key figures in the middle of all this bloody and deadly attacks on the Iranian people, General Soleimani. Not only were Iranians murdered for protesting their government over the past couple of weeks, but Iraqi citizens were also murdered. They were protesting the Iraqi government being influenced by Iran. Iraq and Iran have been longtime enemies. The man who was in the middle of the murder of Iraqi protesters? General Soleimani. I'm glad people who want to hashtag stand with Iran. During the fall uprisings, Iranians were wondering if anyone in the world actually cared for them. I'm astute enough to know that the airstrike that killed General Soleimani was not done in the sole interest of the Iranian people, but I have seen his fingerprint upon the deaths of thousands of people over the years and have no doubt that terror plans were in place to attack even more innocent lives. As I converse with Iranian friends and family, I can sense that their countenance is a balance of jubilation and fear. Jubilation over the justice received for the death of thousands of their countrymen and women, and fear for what may come about on our homeland. Am I glad that General Soleimani is dead? My worldview does not allow me to view any sort of evil as good. And she refers to Isaiah 5:20. And it is my God in whom I wholeheartedly trust, who alone should execute ultimate justice. Hebrews 10:30. I'm thrilled that General Soleimani can no longer torment the innocent people of Iran or execute any more terror plots around the region. Obviously, social media is a means by which we can express our viewpoints. Let's realize that when it comes to Middle Eastern politics, the issues are not black and white. They are messy, convoluted, confusing, and rooted in thousands upon thousands of years of conflict. And all of this is much bigger than Trump, liberals, Democrats, and Republicans. So true. So very true. It's big, it's messy, it's convoluted, But the people, as we have heard from two different sources, were being oppressed by this man.
When I was a child, I thought as a child and spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I took that child out back and had him shot.
It's the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here with you. Hopefully you're having a great Wednesday. It is the Hump Day edition. Oh, God, I actually said Hump Day. Where's my brain? January 8th, 2020. If you stand on your tiptoes and look really hard, you can see the weekend from here. Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, man, I want to move on to one more story here before we move out in this final segment for Wednesday. And it comes to us from newsbusters.org. If you don't have Newsbusters bookmarked and you don't subscribe to their updates, then I don't think you're completely informed. This is just no other way to put it. You need to check with Newsbusters about things because they tend to dig beyond the surface and they find out things that nobody else does. And they also share stories nobody else will. And this is one of them from Newsbusters by Nicholas Fondaracco. Iranian journalist begs U.S. media, don't fall for Iranian propaganda. And the story will go over some of the stuff we already have, but it has some other elements as well. Quote, don't believe Iranian propaganda about the mourning for General Qasem Soleimani. That's the message or plea from Iranian journalist and activist Masih Alinejad, published by the Washington Post on Monday. Unfortunately, as Newsbusters reporting on the liberal media's reaction to Soleimani's demise has shown, they were not heeding her warning and were willingly becoming mouthpieces for the murderous regime. While the liberal media were running around and claiming Iranians were united against the United States by Soleimani's death, they were made to look like fools when the facts of his barbarism were laid on the table. Alinejad began by recalling how the general was responsible for massacring his fellow countrymen after they protested the regime. Quote, according to Reuters, more than 1,500 people were killed by security forces, including units of Soleimani's Revolutionary Guard, and at least 7,000 have been arrested, she reminded readers. The internet was shut down for 5 days. Tehran has yet to release official figures of its own, which suggests the death toll may have been even higher. Apparently, those protesters also had harsh words for Soleimani and his foreign adventures, including his support for radical Islamic terrorists. The families of those slain protesters had to pay money to get their loved ones' bodies returned and were barred from having public funerals. The military was even rolled out to break up some funerals. Seems like the liberal media doesn't care about those funerals. On Monday, ABC News and CBS News gushed about the massive gatherings in the streets of Iran. ABC Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz was moved by them chanting death to America, while CBS Foreign Correspondent Elizabeth Palmer touted a message of death against Trump. But Alinejad exposed what was really happening on the ground to get those crowds to turn out, saying, without doubt, Soleimani had support among hardliners and regime loyalists. The regime is not taking any chances, though. In the city of Ahvaz, where large numbers of people turned out to mourn Soleimani, the government has forced students and officials to attend. It provided free transport and ordered shops to shut down. According to videos sent to me by people inside the country, the authorities are making little kids write essays praising the fallen commander. First graders who didn't know how to write were encouraged to cry for Soleimani. Some Iranians have compared the funeral services for Soleimani to those held for Nazi leader Reinhard Heydrich, the Butcher of Prague, killed by Allied agents during World War II, she adds. Explaining how she knew about what many Iranians really thought about Soleimani, Alinejad said she had received thousands of messages voicemails and videos from Iranians in cities such as Shiraz, Isfahan, Tehran, and even Ahvaz, who are happy about Soleimani's death. They also said they were being pressured to attend such gatherings. Ahlinejad went after the media directly, calling out how they refused to speak with Soleimani dissenters and were more than willing to promote the regime's claims. She says there are many Iranian voices who think Soleimani was a war criminal, but Western journalists rarely reach out to them. Ironically, the Western media is more skeptical of such state-organized events in other countries, such as Russia and North Korea, but seems to leave its critical sense at the border when it comes to the Islamic Republic. While it's true that Western correspondents face daunting conditions when it comes to reporting the truth from Iran, that shouldn't excuse the many times they've shown unwarranted gullibility toward the official version of events. Others in Iran who have loved ones killed by Soleimani had sent her videos of themselves speaking to the camera, dancing, or even sharing cakes and sweets. That sounds more like a celebration than a country united in anger against the United States. So now we have yet another person who is testifying to the fact that the people of Iran are being oppressed by the mullahs, that the leadership, the government in Iran is in essence a dictatorship and commanding what they do, and that the weeping in the streets, the mourning that's been going on as a result of the death of this terrorist is all manufactured. It's all political publicity at the command of a terrorist dictatorship. The people are not free. The people are heavily oppressed. And since the religious takeover of the government of Iran, life in Iran has just become harder and harder for the people. If you disagree with the government, you could very well just disappear. If it sounds a lot like a communist country, that's because there are some stark similarities. If you disagree with the ruling government, you are punished. You are sentenced to some sort of punishment. Or you're just outright killed. As we heard in one of the previous stories, even children thrown from buildings as an example to those who dissent. That is the horrific government in Iran today. That is what they are really all about. That's what they're really like. You're not getting that picture from the mainstream press, the progressive press. What they should be doing, the press that is, if they're doing their jobs, is they should be finding sources for the truth and telling the truth about what it's really like for people under the oppression of the mullahs in Iran. But they won't do that because their progressivism won't allow them to tell the truth. In part, because the government of Iran is almost exactly like the government of Venezuela or you could probably insert any socialist / communist regime. We need to support the people of Iran. They need freedom. They need liberty. Nobody wants war. Nobody. We also don't want evil to succeed and to continue oppressing people. And when an evil man like Soleimani continues to do evil things, he must be dealt with when he does evil things to us. Hey, that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back tomorrow morning for the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.